Welcome to the Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Christy Zagami.
Hi, everyone.
Hello to the 20, 30,000 people who follow us on Band of Video. We have great success over there. A lot of people are writing to us, and it seems like it's really picking up on Band of Video. So we're very happy of that. We are also very happy for the people, of course, who follow us live on YouTube.
Then you guys are really special because I can see all of you.
Absolutely. And we have to thank our sponsors, the people who follow us on X, on Rumble, on BitChute. From next week, we will give you the coordinates for our Rumble and BitChute channel because, guys, we don't know for how long YouTube is going to permit this show. So we're going to encourage people to pass on to Rumble, where we're going to start broadcasting live very soon. Christy, who are the sponsors for today's broadcast?
You remembered.
Yes,
so,
I did.
Thank you, everyone who donated and to sponsor our show. We have Daniel Estes and Bruce Kodish and Kevin Woods and Malgorzata Minta. Thank you very much, guys. And, oh, everybody that bought the book, you guys rock the Casbah because you bought so many books this week. And we really appreciate that. So thank you. You did a really good show, Murray. Everybody needed your book last week.
Absolutely. And you still need them because there's a lot of talk, for example, on some of the topics which I touch in my books. Now with all this Diddy affair, no? Diddy, the Jeffrey Epstein of the music business. What is his complete name?
Sean Diddy Combs.
Sean Diddy Combs. Well,
P. Diddy.
If you read volume 8, you will learn really the background of the music business and how it works. That's why nothing surprises us anymore. And at the same time, this book is also talking a lot in the opening chapter about another subject of interest, which is the so-called Cuba sickness, which is basically this psychoelectronic weapons that have been used often against people working in the embassies. There were people who were not really believing in their existence, but people are really talking about it a lot. And here we have some internal documents that generate a lot of interest because they are somehow connected to the activities, the most secret activities, this EM effect on human body, what it does, what it represents, volume 8. And now, of course, we have a lot of news, but we have also very powerful message here in the title that we would like to address. The New World Order speeds up plans for this for global disorder, more than order. Now we have
chaos
and distraction, global domination. Well, we would like to discuss this subject because a lot of things are happening on the eve of this total solar eclipse. We have discussed this previously. I have discussed it with other colleagues, the fact that this day could be used for rituals and for maybe sacrifice cattle, animals, maybe even human beings. And we have suddenly this bird flu that passes on to the cows from the birds and then maybe to the humans. And so they will be killing a lot of cattle, and they're already in places like Texas and chickens. So that is almost like a form of sacrifice, if you think about it. But at the same time, we have everybody talking about the reaction that Iran might have after the bombing of this dependence there in the embassy, the Iranian embassy in Damascus, where there was a secret meeting between the heads of a special operation group within the Iranian forces and the Islamic jihadist. That is something that there is a lot of alarmism also on this 8th of April. It's like they're almost announcing some kind of false flag like 9/11 for that day. And at the same time, there is a real possibility that Iran goes on the offensive, even if at the moment there is the usual threats by Hezbollah, which are their mercenaries located in Lebanon. And the U.S. has, of course, said to Iran to not attack their bases. I hope that if they attack the U.S. bases, there will be a reaction, because when it comes to the Democrats, the Democrats, and their very weird relation with Iran. Just remember how many billions, a whole plane filled with money was sent to Iran by Barack Hussein Obama, which is, of course, somebody who is still pulling the strings behind the scene with Joe Biden. Joe Biden, ever so demented, half of the time he doesn't know where he is. This time he was actually in Baltimore, and of course he started to talk about his alleged involvement with Baltimore. His father grew up there, and then they said that he passed many times on this bridge. Let's not forget that initially he said he went by train over this bridge, and there was never a rail line there. So this is the Biden clown show in Baltimore.
Thank you, President Biden. Thank you, Mr. President, for making that possible. President Biden understands that. President Biden knows this bridge. He's our neighbor from Delaware. He drives on that bridge. Say to my dad, "Dad, they're mispronouncing Baltimore." And my father was born and raised here in Baltimore. County Executive Johnny O. I like that. Johnny O, ho, ho. And you're probably not going to believe me, but I can tell you now from personal experience.
We definitely don't believe you. Christy, do you ever believe anything that comes out of this guy's mouth?
I don't believe most things that come out of most politicians' mouths. So.
But definitely Joe Biden is a particular case. He is really like...
he's just pathetic.
Now, we had an earthquake in your... You are a native New Yorker.
No, that was insane. I was born in New York. I was raised in New York for part of my life. I went back to New York as a teenager. I was there in my teens, and in that time, we never had an earthquake. I never heard about an earthquake ever.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's many precedents with earthquakes in New York or in New Jersey.
Never, ever. So.
But now let's see how the different parties react in a different way to an event like this. Because first of all, there is a lot of talk about this earthquake in connection to the solar eclipse. Now, we have to understand that there is a connection. Every time we had solar eclipses, there is really a different kind of event like this. Now, let's check out some images from the recent earthquake in New York. By the way, somebody was asking me if my great-grandfather was Scottish. Of course, he's Scottish. I'm from the Lyon family of Lord and Lady Strathmore.
If somebody's asking me where I'm from in Brooklyn, I mean, I'm from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, 17th Avenue and 71st Street. I went to New York High School, sort of, kind of, but not really.
Wow, that's the biggest one. Still going.
Whoa.
Is Japan pushing to have the first non-American on the moon? And has
see, if my kids were home, I would think it was them. So.
Now, somebody was saying that the earthquakes yesterday was New Jersey, and another one was before that. Now, well, the earthquake epicenter was in Tewksbury, New Jersey, and of course it was a 4.8 earthquake, so it was felt.
The community all over I visited had one toilet for 600 people.
Even in the headquarters of the United Nations.
Schools normally form a spine of protection for children, a place where children can seek humanitarian services and normality.
Now, this is the epicenter of all evil. And in fact, political parties took this in a different way. Now, Major Taylor Greene, she talked about...
Marjorie
Taylor Greene. She took this as a sign, as an apocalyptic sign. While instead, the opposing party took it as a sign of climate change. I mean, so you go from one extreme to the other, and you are left thinking, my God, can we have some balance here? Of course, I personally am more close to, what do you think? Major Taylor, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I think it's because of the eclipse, but everything with nature, almost everything, because then we have weather manipulation. But most things with nature, it's God.
But it's God. And of course, the fact that it hit, like somebody's pointing out while the UN was speaking of schools, these people are monsters. What they're doing, their policies are completely demented. So, of course, I think that God is very pissed off with places like New York, where nowadays you have really a bad situation. Just like
I pray for you every day, New York.
Well, you can pray.
And I pray for California too.
I can pray for Rome too, but I don't dismiss the fact.
I don't pray for Rome. I live there, and that place sucks.
Well, but New York is not far from it. I'm sorry.
I don't care. I was in New York, and it was not very good in the 80s, but still. I love my life in New York. I don't care if there was trash on the ground. Yeah,
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the political situation in New York, because let's see what we have there after. We have the mayor.
Go ahead. Education is...
Education. When they talk about education, they should wash their mouths.
Education is...
You're making the ground shake.
Education is, in many ways, Madam President, am I okay to continue? Education is, in many ways, life-saving, but not in Gaza, where every single child is out of school.
And they go back talking about Gaza, of course.
All of us felt, in some way or another, the earthquake that hit our city. Around 10:23 a.m., we felt the impact of this 4.7 magnitude earthquake. The epicenter was in Lebanon, New Jersey, about 50 miles from New York City. And as you know, this is a developing situation.
Well, so it was unprecedented, and it's definitely a sign of the times. The eclipse, the passing of the devil comet, also, because there is a devil comet passing through the sun. So, I mean, all this is ominous signs of something that is manifesting, something that is manifesting and is also a third world war that a lot of people say has already started. And we are pretty sure that in some ways it's actually already present. But it's going to fully manifest inevitably in the next few months. There's been a lot of talk about that. The situation at the moment with Russia also is very weird, because Vladimir Putin was pretty adamant once again during his speech after the re-election about the possibility of waging a nuclear war. For him, it's not really an option if the West continues to attack him. But at the same time, he has also his spokespersons, but especially the people who represent him on TV, who are even more aggressive, saying they're going to alienate the West and destroy everything. But at the same time, we have now another event happening from Russia, which starts to make us think that something strange is really happening in Russia, because there has been a radioactive emergency in a town in Russia. We know that when these kind of things happen in Russia, there's not really a lot of clarity, like with Chernobyl. There was a lot of secrecy. So what is happening really in Russia with this radioactive situation? Did you hear about it, Christine?
No.
Okay, so let's go and check out this information that comes from the Express. And it's about a range of a couple of miles that have reported unusual radioactivity. Let's see if we can show this article. Panic in Russia. Sorry, I seem to have problems in getting. An emergency has been in place because of radioactivity reported in a Russian town of Khabarovsk, which is located to the border with China and has a population of 630,000 people. I mean, it's not a small city. And so the report came in, and a lot of people are wondering what is happening with this emergency, declared in a town in Russia. We might not ever know the truth or what is really happening. I don't think that Russia will report, especially today, what's really happening. Russian authorities said yesterday that elevated radiation levels were detected near a power pylon about 2.5 kilometers, 1.5 miles from residential buildings.
Well, they must be panicking for real. I mean, was it like hit with something?
We don't know.
Well, it must have been. And
the PAS agency, which is basically the official, let's say, a news agency in Russia, has reported that there is no threat to the health of citizens. But that is something they said even when Chernobyl happened, so we can't really trust the Russians on that. I mean, the state of emergency will last for 3 days, so it's still in place until tomorrow, while law enforcement agencies conduct an investigation into the source of the leak. What is the source of the leak? Is it a terrorist attack? We don't know. It's something that we need to follow. The problem is that news coming out of Russia on a subject, on such a delicate subject, seems to be very scarce.
If they were attacked, wouldn't they announce it left and right, though?
Yes, but I mean, not if it becomes an attack that might, in any case, embarrass further Vladimir Putin. The attack that was conducted allegedly by those ISIS mercenaries of ISIS-K, that are obviously agents, mercenaries that work for the West, and probably for the CIA. That's why they were going to Ukraine. It's already something that has definitely agitated the Russian spirits. Panic in Russia now, following this state of emergency, will be adding, to the fact that at the moment Washington's NATO promise that Kiev will become part of NATO is seen as maybe a prelude to a nuclear apocalypse. Even this was the title given on RT, which is like saying a state media, Russian state media owned. So Washington NATO promise to Kiev is prelude to nuclear apocalypse. What? And this, but this not said by anybody, but by Elon Musk, who has commented on the pledge by U.S. Secretary Antony Blinken, because he knows, Elon Musk knows very well what will mean getting Ukraine inside of the of NATO. They are building this wall at the moment to stop the Russians from advancing, but the Russians are advancing. There's a scarcity of ammunition because, of course, the Republican Chamber of basically the Chamber of Deputies or Representatives. relatives. Yes, we call it in America. Because we call it in Italy, we call it Chamber of Deputies, where instead here we call it
House of Representatives.
But the thing is that we have, fortunately, the Republicans who are stopping this never-ending war effort that is bringing us closer and closer to the Third World War. It's not something that we should encourage. We should actually find, like recently, the Austrian Chancellor, I think, said that Europe and America, we should find the possibility of finally getting Ukraine and Russia on a table to work out some kind of solution rather than encouraging what could become a very dangerous war. No,
exactly.
But that's not happening. That's not happening because we have warmongers in NATO that keep on wanting, you know, like Jens Stoltenberg and all the rest. And then we have Norway, who for the first time is investing 2.7 of their gross internal product. Basically, they are investing a lot more than they used to because of this war. And let's not forget that also Norway is a place where you have conscripts. Everybody has to do their military service. And now also the women in the last few years have to do obligatory. Well, but, you know, you want the parity, you want to be equal to men, then you should not learn how to fight just like men. I don't find it as a bad thing. I find it actually as one of the... Of course, I will not...
Who's going to take care of the kids?
The GPT, yes.
The robots?
The robots. The robots. I mean, that is unfortunate that the women might have to go to war, but let's put some air conditioning because it's the temperature is getting a little bit too heated here in our discussion, maybe. Welcome to the Leo Zagami Show. We have, of course, thanked our sponsors, and we want to do it once again. We want to also remind our sponsors, the people who are willing in sponsoring this broadcast, how they can do it. They can donate through GoFundMe, they can donate through Cash App. Remember that this is on the screen here, the main way, GoFundMe. But you can also go on leozagami.com and also add to that Cash App. The sponsors of today?
Nagarzada Minta, Kevin Woods, Bruce Kodish, and Daniel Estes. Thank you very much.
I would like to thank them with a great applause. Let's thank them with a great applause, not only from us, but also from everybody. Here we are. Welcome to the Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Christy Zagami. We are, of course, broadcasting live on YouTube, on X, no longer on Facebook until the 27th of May, but we are broadcasting on band.video for the joy of all the info warriors out there who are, of course, following us. These are crazy times we are living in. I want to show you the images of these really weird rings of smoke that are coming out of the Etna volcano in Sicily. Here, this is strange. Of course, it is a silent video clip. Whoa. But it is very weird because you have this. What does it mean? We don't really know. I mean, scientists have not been able...
Does it have to do with the eclipse also?
I mean, it's really... of course, this volcanic activity will be connected probably to the eclipse, just like the earthquakes. But there has never been this...
Has this ever done this before?
It's really weird. I don't think...
It never erupted or did this...
No. This kind of rings of smoke are really weird. I mean, they are an anomaly that is definitely worth showing you. Welcome to the Leo Zagami Show. For all those people who have just tuned in, this is Leo and Christy on a Saturday rundown of all the news. It's definitely a mysterious phenomenon, these rings of smoke
that have appeared on
Europe's most active volcano, Mount Etna. Now, we usually have activity on Mount Etna, not all the time, but we have, it's an active volcano, but we never have this kind of activity, this mysterious
rings. Is Vesuvius doing anything from my town?
Well, I mean, somebody says these are the smoke messages, like, you know, the ones that
like an Indian.
Native American Indians used to do. It's definitely we're living in unprecedented times. And the fact that we have an inevitability surrounding the Third World War, a lot of people... journalists are talking about this, but at the same time there's a lot of journalists who are also encouraging it. It seems like our leaders are really encouraging the war, just like for the First World War, when the population, the general population, didn't want any war. They wanted to live in peace. The situation economically wasn't great, but they definitely didn't want to go to war. But they were encouraged by their leaders to go to war. And the similar thing is happening today. I mean, the majority of people, if you go into any city in America or in Europe, will probably tell you, we don't want to go to war. We don't want to send our youngsters to fight for a war. Because also the problem then becomes the fact that you are sending to war Generation Z, a generation of people who have a lot of problems already in self-confidence, psychologically and all that, especially after the pandemic, to war, they are being brainwashed in libtard leftist universities, and suddenly you want to send them to war. I don't think they have neither the stamina, the capacity.
I think they'll all just go to Canada.
Just because, like, Canada will also send their own. So it's not going to be like Vietnam where they're going to have the alternative.
Oh no! You can't go to Canada.
You can go. Probably you can go to Mexico. I don't know where you can go, but I mean, we are in front of a very unprecedented scenario. We see all these leaders more and more encouraging the war. The media not really doing anything to change the narrative of this inevitable war. And so what's going to happen then? Because, of course, we have the inflation, we have already the rising prices due to the post-pandemic inflation that was also built up because of the demented choices of Joe Biden's administration that has ruined America's economy. There is not really a solution here. And at the same time, they want to push us into possibly a new pandemic. That's what even Trump has been talking about, like a solution for them to then go back to the mailing ballots and to voting, maybe not in presence, because that will mean their defeat. You see, the fact that Trump will win also implicates a series of decisions also on the part of the people in Europe, of NATO, of our allies, that want to make sure that the 500 billion bill is passed before Trump comes into office, and that 500 billion for Ukraine is
billion. We don't have that kind of money. We're already stretched to the max.
But see,
past that.
But we are pouring more and more money into the military industrial complex, because the military industrial complex today, today is together with the big pharma, the two biggest enemies of mankind's peace, and they are the ones who are continuing this effort towards what they call the Great Reset, because this is really what's happening here. The Great Reset has also an occult background. Somebody was asking me recently, what is the occult background of the Great Reset? I don't think that anybody has really explained the occult background. They maybe have written books about the Great Reset, but they haven't explained the occult background of the Great Reset. And Volume 7 is a book that explains all this, and explains also how they are moving forward this whole society towards the possibility of either having a global warfare, another pandemic, maybe all together generating maybe even a civil war here in the US. I mean, there is more and more ominous news that is coming up from this new world order that is speeding up their plans for global domination. I think the problem has been they were not capable of implementing a longer pandemic and a longer control over our lives. After a couple of years from the start of all this in 2022, because it started 4 years ago, and let's not forget, it's already 4 years. 4 years ago, there was the beginning of this nightmare. There were countries like Italy, for example, that ended up being the ground zero of a series of social experiments, because they locked them up. You couldn't go out of your house without writing where you were going or having a little dog. Crazy stuff. I mean, people were...
It's a good thing we weren't there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm very glad to be American and no longer a European, because Europeans are completely caged into their prison, their technocratic prison that controls them from Brussels and basically Strasbourg. They are living in a illusion of a democracy, but there's no democracy in Europe. You can't even talk anymore freely. And this also comes from the latest news. We come from Germany. Germany is really becoming a very authoritarian country. So let's see the latest news here, because it's quite disturbing. German Intel chief, Christy, here maybe you will be able to read this. I made it quite big for you, no?
I like it bigger.
Okay.
Okay. The German Interior Ministry continues to defend its controversial and widely criticized plans to restrict the speech, travel, and economic activity of political dissidents.
I mean, here we're talking about something that sounds like...
political dissident.
I mean, it sounds like a Soviet Union scenario in Germany. The Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, our domestic intelligence service and political police have sacrificed substantial popular regard in the face of this campaign. According to a poll published last month, a plurality of Germans believe that this Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution is being, though, misused for political purposes. The sentiment is prominent across all parties, except, of course, for the Greens, who believe that all is well with the Federal Republic. Let's not forget, though, that half of Germany lived under the Stasi, lived under the control of communist dictatorship. I mean, there was complete control of every... of every part of their society. They were oppressed. Yeah, but you were in
I went to Western Germany.
You were in Western Germany.
I went to East Berlin, though. During the Cold War, I went. we had a field trip there, and we went up to the wall, and then you could see the snipers there with their guns, and they were like pointing at our school bus.
I went many times to Checkpoint Charlie. I used to work nearby Checkpoint Charlie at one point.
But I mean, I love Germany. I love
but
that,
that was after
so
the
much.
Fall. I went to Berlin only after the fall of the wall. And though I went the first time to Germany in 1986, that was before, of course, the fall of the wall, before the end of the Soviet Union, and it was a very different Germany.
You missed me. I had just left in 1983. Okay, and then he came. He's like, always, you know, we miss each other.
So the creepy, and I mean, what this guy has said, the chief of this Office for the Protection of the German Constitution, Thomas Handelbang, it's really out of the worst dystopian nightmare of what's happening in Germany. I mean, let's move forward with what they're trying to do here in Germany. Christy?
Where am I?
Here.
The thing about freedom of expression, Handelwig Wong explains.
Handelwang
explains is that it is not carte blanche for enemies of the Constitution. Recently, public discourse has repeatedly featured headlines and articles calling the work of the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution into question. There is talk of an opinion police, a language police, and even a government security service.
I mean, that is like Orwellian stuff. This is out of 1984. Germany is going back to their old Nazi ways.
But what's up with
what
us?
Are they going to have? The Gestapo soon? Obviously, well, if Germany moves towards that kind of thing, and here we have Joe Biden, who is using in an instrumental way the FBI, the DOJ, and every
and what's going on with Facebook?
Federal institution for his own advantage.
What's up with the FBI and the Facebook? And then they're like visiting people's houses that are talking on Facebook. Is that true?
Yes.
I'm glad I'm off of there.
I mean, they are visiting people to advise them, you know, but still, compared to how it was for us in Italy, it's pretty moderate. I mean, people...
They weren't nice about it. They basically just...
They were assholes that broke
down
the door only for a Facebook post.
Sirens going, scaring the cows, and all that.
In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere, scaring the cows. I mean, it was really rude.
Scaring the cows, because once it was, of course, in the middle of a village we used to live. But then the second time, we went to actually live outside in the middle of nowhere to see if we could
get away from them.
And then instead they came for another.
They would never leave us alone either.
For a post on Facebook, it was insane. So yes, I hope that America doesn't become a nightmare.
No, they're not going to. No way.
The First Amendment, of course. They are definitely the amongst the most dishonest, that's for sure. The fact that this German authority says that you have to distinguish a democracy from autocracy or a dictatorship, and then he does things like this. He says, in the Federal Republic, even offensive, absurd, and radical opinions are protected. But then he says that even freedom of expression has its limits. The outmost boundaries are set by criminal law, for example, with regard to punishable propaganda, offenses, or incitement of hatred. I think that really Germany is going back to their old ways, and that's not good. That's not good. Germany is, remember, the leading, because before, you know, it was only Germany. But now it's the whole European Union. Because Germany is the driving force of the European Union. And what Ursula von der Leyen decides, then everybody else has to act upon. And soon, probably, she's going to be re-elected. And in any case, the Germans control the EU bureaucracy, the EU police, institutions, everything that they're trying to put together. So the Fourth Reich, and that is a subject that I've discussed in Volume 7, is rising again from Germany. And this is a subject that is discussed very rarely, but it's very important to understand. It's not it's not the Europe of the Second World War even. Yes, you had Italy allied with Germany, but then you had the France that wasn't into the game, even if after it was invaded by Germany. Then you had every country had their own sovereignty. Now Germany is, since you see the Second World War ended and they established the Bilderberg Club, which was basically a Nazi institution that was re-emerging. It was kind of like, so it's really bad what is happening with this German Intel chief defending the efforts of the police to analyze the thought and speech patterns of the citizens and start to behave like a kind of minority report kind of situation where they want to stop you immediately from even thinking certain things. Now, let's go back to also the role of Germany in another theater of war. You have to understand that because during the Cold War, the Stasi, and even before, during Nazi Germany, they had a very vast network of spies all over the Middle East, the CIA has decided to move their headquarters during the last part of the Cold War from Rome to Germany. And in Germany, they operate also with their own spy network in the Middle East. So when you see those Germans half naked around the Middle East, they want to be, I'm just walking here in the desert. No, they might be actually spies and people who have been placed there. They have apparently still a major spying network, the Germans, in the Middle East. And of course, this is the moment in which you have a lot going on in the Middle East, especially because Tehran might retaliate against Israel after the recent attack. And it's something that that will enlarge the conflict, will dramatically amplify this conflict that is already going on for the last 6 months and has created a lot of controversy, because you have, like we said last week, Russell Brand, who says that basically Alex Jones is more leftist than Joe Biden. The fact that people can even support in any way, shape or form Hamas or anything that is done by those Islamic thugs, well, I mean, you obviously don't know what you're talking about. There is too much anti-Semitism to make people reason clearly on the threat of Islam. But somehow, every now and then, you know, you have people like Paul Joseph Watson, who brings out, for example, an article that was interesting on the Islamic symbols that were projected on major landmarks in a video, not in reality, by an Islamic institution, an important organization in Great Britain. This was done for Ramadan. Now, we shouldn't really be surprised, because you have a Pakistani Muslim mayor for London that basically is almost indulging in a Sharia situation. Areas of London are completely under the control of Islam. And I mean, me and my wife had an experience the last time we were in London. I mean,
she was one of the last, yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty shocked by how Muslim it was. But at the same time, people have to realize that it's not a question only of the Muslims. Of course, there is also the people behind them. There is the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Knights Templars, the Neo Templars of the New World Order, who are using their 1,000 almost year old years old alliance with Islam, and this is an ongoing alliance that will be finally presented to you in an unprecedented form in my latest book, Volume 10 of My Confessions, that will come out next month.
He's been working on it.
Yes, been working on it. And finally, people will have a clear idea of what's going on in the Middle East, because there is... okay, please.
No, it was a comment. I just, I was wondering if anybody out there that watches YouTube, if you've noticed, because I've noticed personally in my ads on YouTube, because usually, like, I go on there and I do face yoga, and that's pretty much all I do on YouTube. I sign into my thing and I do my face yoga and then I get off. I don't even listen to music on there anymore. But anyway, before they would only show me like other beauty things or whatever. It would have to do with beauty, anything beauty. Now they're showing me like stuff from Muslim, like it's all in Arab and it's like Muslims, and they'll come on my thing and I don't know what they're saying because it's in Muslim language and or Arab, whatever. And you know, it's like, I'm like, why am I seeing this? And so I say, I don't want to see this. And they say, you're seeing this because you are in the United States. And I was like, this is not what I want to see.
Yeah, well, I was shocked by all those.
And I showed him videos, and I'm like, this happens to me every day, and it's only been happening for like a couple months now. Or maybe like a month that I really noticed it, and I'm getting sick of it.
And for example, in Europe, especially in France, where they have a long colonial relation with Muslim countries, and so they had to, you know, embark in a policy of authorizing for now over 100 years a lot of Muslims into their country, and so they are really seen as the epicenter of Muslim activity in Europe. There was just recently two episodes of violence from teenagers, Muslim teenagers that basically Montpellier, for example, in France, a 13-year-old girl was beaten up in a savage way by three young Muslims because they accused her of behaving as a that she wasn't faithful to her religion, that she was a non-believer, and so she was beaten up. In another place, which is close to Paris, which I know, Viry-Châtillon, there was instead a 15-year-old who was killed even because he had talked with a Muslim girl, and Macron is avoiding to talk about this problem, which is the radicalization of the banlieue of those areas where basically these Muslims are living. And like I said, even the case of London and also in England, the Sharia law is judged as being more important than the actual French or English law. So
what's Sharia law?
Sharia law is the official law and precepts of Islam that are followed and that are interpreted, though every time in different ways, by the various Islamic factions. Now, the fact that they come into Europe or come into the West and they start implementing something like that is absurd. Let's not forget, you will understand this from studying my book, but all this relaunch of the Sharia is something pretty recent in a way, and it was implemented because of the radicalization of Muslims that was also pushed behind the scenes by Freemasons and Western Illuminati, and all their names will be unveiled in my book. So in the end, the responsibility, unfortunately, is also of our own elite here in the West that went for the last three centuries in their countries to try to at times sabotage their way of living and implement this chaos and this fundamentalism to simply block the expansion of those areas, intellectually also. You see, in the last five centuries, we see like the Muslim world 6-7 centuries ago was superior to our world, intellectually, everything. They had the more, they had preserved all the ancient Greek scripts, all the, and then suddenly in the last five centuries, because of the sabotage that was implemented by their own Illuminati, but also by our own Illuminati, so both by their own and our Illuminati, in conjunction, working together, the Freemasons and all the activities to raise things like the Salafi movement, the Wahhabi movement, and also sabotage elements of the Sufi movement, we have now a nightmare. These countries have been left to the third world kind of stage because they have been made to be like that. You know, they, and why? Because the Western world didn't want these countries to develop. They don't want Africa to develop. They don't want the Middle East to develop. The only ones who are developing are those countries who basically are rich in oil. If we take off the oil out of the whole equation with the Emirates and all that, the whole money that the Emirates will make without the oil and will be not even like, I mean, it will be just an average country in Europe, but not even. It's the petroleum, it's the oil that is generating all this money. But they didn't create any other possibility. They didn't create any, there wasn't any industrial revolution. There wasn't, there's no factories, there's no nothing. No. Because we sabotage them and we go there and take the resources, especially in countries like Africa, where we sabotage them for diamonds, gold, and whatnot. The corruption, unfortunately, of these countries, the fact that also the secret societies have been operating for hundreds, thousands of years. And now we need to explain who they are. We need to explain who are the Middle Eastern Illuminati, how they work in connection with the West.
I can't wait to read your book.
It's
I see him working on it, and it's just like he's got something to say, and I want to know what it is. I was watching a movie yesterday called Brothers, and it was about it had to take place with PTSD in the Middle East and Afghanistan. And I was watching it, I was getting mad, you know, because it was showing the military, and I was getting mad at what was happening to them. And so then he was laughing, and, you know, I was like, what? And he's like, well, you're going to read and you're going to find out everything that you need to know. And I said, well, I already know that everything's messed up. And he goes, no, but you need to know this. I said, well, I can't wait to read it then. So, I mean, I see him and he's just like, so I always say every time you do a book, I've never seen you so intense, but like this book, like I haven't, like pretty much during the day, I just stay away from him because he puts the sign up. Show your sign that you put up. Yes. He puts the sign up in front of his computer. It's like, you can't distract him from what he's doing. So, you know, the kitchen's right there. Working from home. We laugh, but I mean, he can't sit at me. And he has to be really nice when he says anything to me, or I get mad and it's like, eh! So.
No, but the thing that is very important to understand here is that we are not dealing here with a book on only the Western side of the Illuminati, which I've touched, of course, in all my previous books. Here we're talking about the Middle Eastern Illuminati, the Middle Eastern Freemasons. And this is a serious subject also for Islamic scholars, which I will be challenging. So, I mean, I've been in the Middle East, and there is revelations in this book regarding also me personally that I'm not going to give yet, because this is going to be the big surprise of this book. But when Christy heard one of the things that I'm going to reveal in this book, she herself, I think,
I almost dropped on the ground and fainted, and I can't really be surprised. I've been living with him for 15 years. but I nearly dropped on the ground in Phoenix. So.
Because these things are brought with evidence. They're not just speculation. There is no speculation here. There is evidence that is brought to you and documents. And so you think that my revelation made me risk my life, but to actually reveal these kind of things, well, this is going to be the ultimate revelation. I mean, there has been people like Salman Rushdie that have been persecuted for much less than what I will be revealing in this book. So prepare yourself with all your certainties, with all your BS, which you think you might know, but no. No, especially from those people who are there judging and saying this and that without really knowing things. It's very important, I think, that people know really the story of Islam from the very beginning, all the various factions, every single secret society involved, and both in the Middle East, here in the West, what connects us to them and what compromises we have done and they have done. And that really is going to bring clarity. Because know the truth, and the truth should set you free. That is a very important thing. It's about clearing certain matters more than, just simply being critical of this or that. No. Bringing the information in front of everybody for everybody to judge. These facts need to be true. When you are talking about Islam, you have to study, and you have to study for years and years and years, and you have to go to the Middle East, you have to go to Turkey, you have to go to the East. You cannot discuss these things simply by reading them on the internet. And I think that is really what is going to shock a lot of people. And so this new book will be very good for all the people who are also have been involved, sadly, in wars in Iraq, in Afghanistan, who maybe want to understand a little bit more what they were fighting for. And what their, what their leaders were actually fighting for, which wasn't what they were fighting for. It's sad that there was a lot of manipulation. So that when you talked to me about that movie yesterday, and I saw what it was all about, once again I was laughing, but I was also saddened by the fact that so many people are misled into believing this or that without really having a clear understanding. So I hope that in the end, my effort will help. Help meaning that once we all know the truth about certain things, we can act accordingly, and we can maybe create a better society.
That would be great. We don't want to be full of hate. We don't want to be like that. We want everybody to love each other, because that's what God wants. God doesn't want all this hate. That's the truth. It makes me want to cry.
But I'm probably risking a lot to bring out this book. But another thing, I decided to bring it out only now because I'm American. Because I couldn't have brought out this book as a European. Because we are not protected in what we write. We don't have any freedom of speech, of expression in the same way in Europe. There is no constitution to protect us. There is the lies of these people who are completely corrupt. And as an American, I feel the responsibility with my new citizenship to really bring to light a book that can help my fellow Americans, as well as also the Europeans. But the Europeans seem to be almost lost. The invasion is ongoing. There is an ongoing invasion in Europe. It's unstoppable. And so, I mean, remember when I was in the lodge in London and I addressed the Freemason in the lodge about the Muslims and what they would be doing to them if they started to have it their own way. And I said, so what are you doing? What are you protecting? Somebody who is going to come here and bomb us all like they did in Turkey when they arrived there in the lodge and they got to explode themselves? I mean, this is... why are they being like this? And they actually, when I started to,
they cut me short. They cut him short. That asshole.
Yeah, the English Freemason cut me short when I was giving this speech, which was basically on the Christian roots of Freemasonry and the incompatibility of. No matter what Kipling did with his poetry, no matter what people say after 1813, Freemasonry was about bringing all the major religions together. No, there is complete is incompatible to even if in the end you're gonna discover from this book that it's not like that. That Freemasonry and Islam has been one thing working together. And there's a way to compromise is behind the scene. So, well, I will leave it to the book to talk for me. So we will be probably working a lot on it in the coming weeks, Christy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. At the same time, we want to ask you to encourage us also with the help of the sponsors, not only, I mean, of course, the purchase of the books, that is something that helps us and motivates us, but at the same time, we need the sponsorship, and you are our sponsor. So please sustain us, because once I finish the book, my intention is to bring you more than one show a week, no?
Yeah.
But the problem is, without sponsorship, we can't do that, so...
I don't know. We never get the bigger audience that we need because we're so shadow banned. I mean, they pull us off from here and there. And I mean, with our audience, I mean, it hasn't grown. I mean, we've been here for 2 years.
But from next week, we will be encouraging people to move to Rumble. We have already 1,000 or there, but that's the beginning. We want to
get bigger
on Rumble, because we know that with Rumble, at least we will be more free. And we'll have more freedom of speech. So this is important. Now, let's go back to talking about the problems with immigration. Switzerland. I remember that not so long ago, I had this sweet couple that lives nearby who asked me as a favor to talk with them about the possibilities of living in Switzerland rather than in America. And I said, you know, yeah, Switzerland is not an easy place. And now there is ulterior confirmation, because they are holding a referendum, a poll in Switzerland regarding the fact of restricting the country's population to 10 million until 2050. That means complete ban. I mean, it's not like the possibility referendum or restricting to 10 million until 2050. Now, Switzerland is a small country. Realistically speaking, I don't see more than 6 or 7 million living inside that small chunk, which is like a county of California living, you know, all together, strict. Switzerland is very small. We went there together. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a small, pretty, very pretty country, very small country. So this referendum will probably bring them the result that people will probably not be so inclusive, because they know they have it so good over there. And if you bring over 10 million people in such a small country, you start having problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember how close they were with the borders in Switzerland?
Yeah.
they literally, when you arrive in Switzerland, and we arrived by train, I remember that time, the police comes into the train and starts inspecting everybody. And if they see anybody that they remotely see as suspicious, they immediately bring him out of the train. It was very,
yeah.
It wasn't a joke. I mean, I used to work in Switzerland many, many years ago with Color Trois, this radio in Geneva. And I remember going there regularly and there was always a lot of controls. So Switzerland is not part of the EU for that reason. They have always managed to have their own laws, their own sovereignty is well respected. During the war, in fact, they were neutral, and Germany couldn't go inside Switzerland. The fact that they are so rich is because, of course, their banks collect all the wealth of the world, so they have a lot of respect from the neighboring countries. And at the same time, everybody is forced, every male member of their family is forced into training, into having a gun and to defend their family. Yeah.
Oh, like really? In mid, yeah, they do that in Switzerland?
Switzerland is completely...
Well, they can have guns?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, it's for each member to defend their own country, cool. Ready for war. I mean, almost like...
But that's good. They don't take them away like they did in Australia and Canada and...
Well, I mean, it's a small country that needs to defend itself. And of course, that's probably legacy of past attempts to invade them, that they are always on guard, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how they are. At the moment, there is also the Ukrainians who are trying to defend themselves. And because they are starting to have a shortage of male, you know, like... up till a couple of days ago, you had to be 27, from the age of 27 to the age of 60, you will be sent to war.
Yeah.
Now they have lowered the age to 25.
Oh my God.
And probably they will lower it more and more because they simply don't have...
But wait, from 27? I mean, how come it isn't from like 21 or something?
No, right? Because...
Or like from 18, like they do to us.
Well, yeah.
They send kids to war.
I know. But they wanted to keep because maybe they were better trained before and the youngsters are not so trained with the web. I don't know. I mean, they kept always this whole thing from 27 on to 60. I thought it was weird not to, you know, maybe to make it maybe to 55 and get maybe young. No, they know that, of course, these people are dying. But at the same time, I mean, they're sent to the front to die. So they are literally killing generations and generations of male individuals that will not be able to produce families or anything. And the crazy thing is that in the meantime, the youngsters, 18, 19-year-old, the sons of the rich, like the mayor of Kiev, they go around partying like there is no tomorrow. This is a collection of images from the children of the mayor of Kiev, Vitaly Klitschko, who was this kind of bulldog because he used to be a boxer, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And these are his children having fun in Europe while the others are dying. It's just like luxury, excess. This is what the children of the mayor of Kiev are doing while their fellow Ukrainians are dying. Mm-hmm. It seems like, just insane. I think that we will see possibly some changes in the near future, and that probably a lot of younger people will go and die. If there is no stop to this war, there is also, though, the possibility that more and more mercenaries from abroad, but also more members for their foreign legion, because they have a foreign legion, and you can come from all over the world and join them in fighting the Russians. The invaders, as they call them. But, I mean, you have to pay people usually when they start, to go to a foreign country and fight. It becomes like mercenaries. Some people do it, of course, maybe for a little amount because they believe in fighting the Russians. But how many people want to go and be butchered now that they don't have any more weapons? You go and fight, but you're not given the weapons. Foreign fighters have
to fight with rocks.
No, but foreign fighters also have to bring their own bulletproof vests, their own things. It's just sounds like really demented. But the situation in Ukraine, it's very, it's very tense. The Ukrainian military chief has just warned to the West of Russia's threat. Here we are. Sorry, guys, the small technical problem. But I was about to show you here the latest news. Of course, you are following us for the Leo Zagami Show, our weekly rundown of news with Leo and Christy Zagami. Ukraine military chief willing a chilling warning to the West about Russia's threat. Russia is ready to swallow Europe whole. I mean, they're doing a lot of alarmism, the Ukrainians, because they are left now to face the reality of this whole war. The fact is that nobody wants to continue giving money for the Ukrainians to defend what? The Donbas region is presently Russian, so it should be left to the Russians. The same can be said for Crimea, who is now been for 10 years part of the Russian Federation, and they continue. I think they should just keep their own land, what is left of their own land, without exaggerating, because in the last 48 hours, the Russians are literally crippling the defenses. They are bombarding Odessa, Zaporizhia, and Kharkiv is becoming the center of a new, probably, I hope not like Mariupol, but it seems like it's heading that way. So destruction on a large scale in Kharkiv. This is what is happening at the moment with the war in Ukraine. I think a war, a more useless war than this. And the problem is that the NATO, the heads of NATO, they don't want to make brutta figura. They don't want to be seen as the ones who are losing this war. So it is almost like it's like here in America, we don't want to give now the Republicans, and then of course you have Trump. Like I said earlier, they want to try to bypass that problem by maybe investing now, but now they're not going to receive any money, and at this point the weight is left in the hands of the Europeans, so they will have to pay now for this war. And they seem to be pretty broke, and that's what is bringing the collapse of the German economy. The Italian economy is doing better than the German economy at the moment. This is paradox. I mean, Germany is the country of BMW, Mercedes, of great things. Okay. It's a country of very hard workers, but they are giving all their money to this idiotic war. And they, at the same time, they have been also paying a lot more for gasoline, for gas, for everything, because they're not importing it from Russia anymore. So all the costs of production, they had relied for far too long on the products, especially what the gasoline, the oil, and all the products coming from Russia, the carbon fossil fuels that they were buying from Russia. It was Trump, if you remember, many years ago, who told them to not to become a little bit more self-reliant, to not rely so much on Russia, but they laughed at Trump, and now I don't think they will be laughing after what is happening. In the meantime, regarding Donald J. Trump, well, I mean, we all know that they're trying in every way possible to stop him. The judiciary here in America and what is happening with Trump is absolutely ridiculous. He had to give $170 million. Now he is selling his hotel in Las Vegas. Possibly also to pay for all these legal bills and for the money that he had to give, this $170 million, whatever, that he had to advance for the appeal. I mean, it's a big sacrifice. And so The leftist media is rejoicing. Trump is selling his hotel in Las Vegas and everybody's happy. This is really insane. I mean, and then you have a shifty shift who is saying he's afraid of being arrested if Trump arrives in power.
What?
These idiots, these complete fools. I don't know. I mean, it's just like,
well, maybe
insane.
He doesn't like Las Vegas, so he just wants to remove his thing there, his hotel. Don't remove the one in New York.
No, well, I think that...
I don't like Las Vegas. I'm sorry.
But... Well, I mean, you might not like Las Vegas, but the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas was an institution.
I couldn't even spend the night there. It was terrible.
Well, we were at the Four Seasons, not far away.
Yeah, and then whatever, but that place is cursed.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of energy that goes there. The gambler's energy is very strong, of course. But having said that, there is also good people in Las Vegas and hard workers. The problem is the increase of Democrats has
it's
ruined.
Not the people, it's the place I don't like. I mean,
well, but it's also this new Democratic energy that has brought a lot more homeless people to Las Vegas that live in the underground and all that poverty.
Yeah,
and
terrible.
That's not
really
very
terrible
good.
The way people have to live.
Absolutely. In any case, we were saying that Trump is selling the Vegas hotel probably to pay some of his bills. I think this is very unjust. I think that the way the Democrats have acted is really like a third world country. I'm sorry, but they have really teared apart the values of our great nation and of the Constitution. And I hope that Trump can come back to fix all this.
I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And this country doesn't have time either.
Yeah, well, correct.
Was it really revelatory?
No, it was. I mean, political correctness.
Yeah.
It's you can have political correctness, but then you have this political hypocrisy, which. So, what do you think of Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about the Americans? It's time to repent.
I don't like Bible thumpers. I don't like people telling other people what to do and to repent when they need to repent themselves. So, I mean,
but
she shouldn't be talking. I don't like that. So, whatever.
Well, but
like
they should be definitely.
But one person
shouldn't be
judging another.
Absolutely. So. But you have to understand that here it's becoming really a clash, you know? And the values that the Democrats are putting are frua, demonic. So
yeah, but
reaction,
I see it on the other side too. I see a bunch of freaking hypocrites. So
yeah,
whatever, it's on both sides.
There has to be less hypocrites. Now, there has been a couple of preachers that apparently participated with princes and other powerful people to the depravities of Didi, of what's his name, full name?
Sean Combs.
P. Diddy.
I don't know him. I'm just like
P. Diddy. Apparently, his bodyguard is revealing that he had collected tapes of all these people. So you're not collecting tapes if you are also an FBI informant to do what? What is the FBI really doing here? Because we know that Diddy is very close to Clinton, to Obama. We know that a similar kind of situation was created with Jeffrey Epstein, who was then blackmailing people. No? And we saw what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. Probably Diddy didn't kill himself or would be next. But it is quite shocking. It's definitely very shocking here. What is happening? The fact that there is this record producer. I was in the record business. Record producers work for record labels. Often these record labels have been, unfortunately, a bunch of thugs. Record labels often have been a way of, how you say, recycling black money or cleaning money.
Dirty money, like laundering.
Money laundering. And at the same time, through the use of drugs on certain artists, controlling those artists, and also with their maybe their depravities, whatever the depravities are, being able to blackmail them. The fact that these parties were organized and everything was filmed, it was done because people were being blackmailed. Now, the fact that Kanye West has said that Diddy was an informant for the FBI, so who is really Diddy reporting to here? The FBI? Who is he giving this information, this stuff that made him untouchable? And why these people should be untouchable in the first place?
Yeah.
I think that, unfortunately, there has been a lot of greed, a lot of perverse going like Obama in power, because Obama is coming from that ambiance, from those clubs in Chicago with a lot of ambiguity. And Diddy has definitely videos, probably very powerful people. And those very powerful people now will do anything to protect their Diddy.
So what do you think is gonna happen?
I think that he's going down. I think definitely he's going down. I mean, if they made all these moves, he's definitely going down. But at the same time, I think that he might now. I mean, he's trying to act normal. He's there in Florida acting like nothing happens, you know, just going around smiling and being like, it's like nothing happened. It's okay. We saw also accusations moved against his own son for rape also. So when you have a father who does rape, then you yourself might be inspired. So his son now is being accused also of the same things his father has been accused. We need to know more about this whole thing, but I doubt that the leftist and mainstream media will make it possible to know more. They seem to have brought out a lot now, but suddenly it's like we're all waiting and seeing what is the next thing here happening, and there is a lot of talk, but not any new evidence. So apart from the testimonies, even his former bodyguard saying he's ready to testify. I mean, these people are ready to, they don't want to go down with him. He has a lot of snitches around that are ready
so
to
then,
talk.
Like,
because
like
otherwise
Epstein.
He would not have had all those, you know, this operation that went on in parallel in California and in Florida, in both of his states, to siege all this potential incriminating material. I mean, definitely there is something that... another thing that I would like to show you the monstrosity of the society we live in. A legal defender is supposed to be somebody that, you know, if you don't have the money for a lawyer, you have a legal defender assisting you. Now, in Seattle, the legal defender happens to be a terrifying transsexual drag queen. I don't know. I mean, this is very difficult to comment. Check it out. I mean, unbelievable.
Check on that.
Yeah. So we were talking May 6, 845?
Yeah.
That works for me.
All right.
Do I need the song in?
Nope.
I'm just out of here. My comment about my client?
Yeah.
I just met her. She's really nice. She's really smart. She sounds like she's got the right idea about things. I really support what she's up to, and I think it's fabulous. How about that?
God, she's accused of, what is it? Criminal trespass.
In the first degree, yes.
Is she innocent or guilty?
She's innocent, of course.
She's innocent, okay. Well, she's caught on video being arrested and protesting and allegedly protesting. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to get all sides.
My client has pled not guilty. My name is Stephanie Mueller. I'm in the directory for the Washington State Bar Association. You can look me up.
Okay. So Stephanie, thank you for your time. At this point, your client is being arraigned, though.
It's all just happened. Her hearing is over.
Got it.
It's done.
All right. Do you know when her next court date is?
I do.
Do you mind? I'd like to maybe just keep tabs if there are...
I think that's a great idea.
Could you tell me when that is?
No.
Oh,
take care.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Jeez, man. Seattle, another depraved leftist hellish place. This is the world we're living in the year 2024. I mean, Kirsty, comment. You said people can't go to a court like that.
Well, I mean, aside from being a transsexual, you can't. Even if she was just a lawyer, you know, whatever kind of lawyer, you have to dress appropriately when you go to court. So she should dress more appropriately. So, and then like, yeah, you can't like distract from the legal stuff.
No comment on this.
She was very distracting. So
she's a monster. Greta Thunberg has been arrested.
Greta Thunberg. You remember Greta Thunberg?
Oh, you're a nemesis there.
Greta Thunberg. I talked about her in Volume 4 of my confessions because she's definitely one of the antichrist of this era. She was and has been very popular in connection to the alleged fight against climate change. She has been arrested, though, because she was trying, to stop the traffic on a highway in Holland. Here we go. Sponsored by George Soros, every now and then she gets arrested these days, continuing her demented fight. Oh well.
Is it time?
It's nearly time, but it's not quite. It's almost time, though, to of course, leave you with... But we have another important information to deliver. There was a very unprecedented eruption into the Mexican embassy in Quito, in Ecuador. This is might seem like... But this is very important because they went into this embassy where there was somebody asking for exile, the former vice president, to arrest them. Now, that is a breaking of the Vienna Treaty, Article 22, that every single diplomatic center has to respect, embassy, consulates in the world. You cannot go into a sovereign nation who has established their own embassy there. It's like entering into another nation. Mexico has immediately broke any relationship with Ecuador, officially accusing them of an illegal act while they broke in. And this is the moment in which they arrested the former president, George Glass, who had asked for exile, for the possibility of exiling to ask exile to Mexico. So this happened in Ecuador in the last few hours, bringing to a diplomatic incident between Mexico and Ecuador, and of course a lot of other diplomatic representatives from other countries in Ecuador are worried because this is definitely an unprecedented attack on Rule 22. Thank you for following us today with our show, Saturday, April 6th. I hope you had a great start to this new month. Rambo is sleeping, so yeah, we're not going to disturb him today. We want to thank all those people who also follow regularly leozagami.com, where is the place where you can find all the latest articles. And now, of course, we have our team track song that brings us to the end of the show. No, it's a classic nowadays. People like this track, like to see me and Christy dancing.
They
to
like
it.
The Dance Macabre too. But they dance. We do that the dance for macabre. The other one.
Yes,
done one of those lately.
Yeah, well, we hope maybe for next month to bring a new Exploring the Illuminati. In the meantime, thank you for following the Leo Zagami Show with all the latest news with Leo and Christy. Thank you to all the people who have followed us live on YouTube and X, and also to all the people on band.video who are making this show a success.
So afraid of old man Satan, now why don't you stop your hesitating? You're gonna be a long time dead, so the devil with the devil says I. You're always giving me the dickens, telling me that life's no easy pickings. But just as long as I have fun, why the devil with the devil says I. You can have
please
your social teams
us,
and bingo for your fun.
Sing, all my books or Christie's books.
Me one by one. Now even if you make me stronger, that ain't gonna make me live no longer. So even if I go to the devil with the devil says I.
Look out for the devil, look out for the devil.
Oh, the devil with the devil says I.